Hey, this is Double J, Jeff Jarrett, WWE Hall of Famer, and you're listening to the My 1-2-3 Cents Podcast.
It's my personality to be jittery. It's part of my charm.
Wrestling fans,
are you ready?
It's time for My 1-2-3 Cents, the podcast on the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network.
Give me a hell yeah!
Now, here's your host.
The man is also a very long, dear, personal friend of mine.
Does the guy have a name?
Yes, he has a name.
Kevin Huntsberger.
Woo!
Kevin! You're stupid.
Hey, friends, welcome to episode 493 of the My 1-2-3 Cents podcast. I am Kevin Huntsberger, your host, and a quick explanation for this week's episode. Always have a plan B, and I always have and always will have a plan B just in case things happen and life happens, and that's what happened this week. My original plan, my original guest was going to be Vinnie Barry, who is the author of a book based on the life of legendary wrestler Black Bart. And we were not able to record this week. So that is going to be happening in the very near future. And we will be talking about Black Bart and this book and kind of that regional and territorial wrestling days. Vinnie Barry has been the guest on here several times in the past. We talked about Lance Von Erich and the Lance by Chance book. And there are several editions or several versions of volumes, if you will, of WrestleVille. And that is, again, going to be the topic in a couple of weeks. Next week, though, I do have secured Super Dave, who is, or Pondwater Dave, is, a longtime wrestling fan. He was the referee for Ric Flair's last match, and he is going to be the guest here on the podcast as we talk about the 40-year anniversary of Kerry Von Erich beating Ric Flair for the NWA World Heavyweight Championship. Dave is a Von Erich super fan, as am I. We'll, I'm sure, talk about the Iron Claw and some other things, but the focus will be that anniversary of Kerry's big victory over the Nature Boy Ric Flair. I'm looking forward to having that conversation and talking to Vinnie Barry in the next few weeks as well. So without having a guest and time to to have someone on to have an organized topic, this weekend also marked prom for my daughter, who was a senior in high school. And we, along with all the things that go along with the pre-prom and then the prom itself, and then we hosted, my wife and I, not hosted as in set out and handed out snacks, but our house was the destination for some of her friends to come and do post-prom. So my studio was occupied by some kids who were sleeping in here. And so I didn't, have time to get a guest and have, cause I wasn't sure exactly when I was going to be able to record and knock out this week's episode. So with all that out of the way, I did decide after scrolling through Twitter on Friday, Cody Rhodes was at a grocery store in Kentucky, near Cincinnati, SmackDown, I believe must have been in Cincinnati or near Cincinnati on Friday. And Cody Rhodes was doing a meet and greet from 11 to 1. And I have a friend who actually works in Cincinnati at the TV station there. And I had jokingly messaged her and said, hey, go by and ask Cody if he will be the guest on episode 500 of the podcast. And she did tell us that, the lines, she didn't go herself, but somebody from her station did go and said that the lines were extremely long and there were a lot of fans there. And I didn't really... wasn't able to really fully understand that, the scope of it, until I saw on Twitter, and I forget who originally posted it, but they're in their car driving and recording and going down the line, and it goes out of the store, around, down the side and down, you know, like it's several, you know, hundreds of people, to say the very least, standing in line waiting for an opportunity to meet Cody Rhodes. And had this been, you know, because I live in Southern Illinois, so I'm not terribly far from Western Kentucky. It's about a 45-minute, maybe an hour-ish drive from where I live. And from where I work, it's about 40 minutes. So when I saw that he was going to be in Kentucky, I quickly looked to see to make sure, because it was a small town that I hadn't heard of. And it's, again, it's just outside of Cincinnati, so, which is probably about 4.5-5 hours away. So obviously was not going to be able to do that. But I really thought if it's close enough, I will take the day off or the afternoon off from work and head over there and do it. So that got me to thinking, you know, what is the longest that you've waited in line to do a meet and greet, to meet a wrestler, to meet a celebrity, to meet anyone? And then it got me thinking, you know, this might be a fun story time or talking points. And yeah, obviously, if I had someone here to banter back and forth with, it would be better. But you will be the one that I am bantering back and forth with kind of post show. So leave comments. Let me know. I have some fun and fond memories. And actually, as I was sitting here talking and thinking about it, when I was a kid and gosh, probably like 4 years old, I remember, I want to say it was the West County Mall in St. Louis, Missouri. And if you know the mall with the big dove out front off of Highway 270, you know exactly what I'm talking about. I think it was that mall. It was either that mall or Jamestown Mall. I don't remember now. Again, I was four. But my brother, who's 18 months younger than me, was a huge, and still is, a huge Marvel fan, Spider-Man specifically. Hulk and Spider-Man were his two favorites. And I remember they were going to have Spider-Man. This is probably one of my earliest childhood memories. They were going to have Spider-Man at the mall. And so our parents took us, and I can remember waiting in line, and I don't have any concept of time, so I don't know how long we waited in line, but we waited in line for a while. And when we finally got to the head of the line, and it was our turn to go and meet Spider-Man, and I think, I don't even know if my parents took pictures or anything of this. I don't remember seeing pictures later on, but, you know, again, this is the late 70s, but my brother freaked out. He got scared and was too intimidated to go see. But we got signatures. You know, I remember having a piece of paper with Spider-Man's autograph on it. So that's the first time I remember standing in a line and waiting. And then through the years, you know, as a wrestling fan, I've told the story here before. The first time I thought I was going to meet a wrestler was 1988. It was March of 88. It was right before or right after WrestleMania 4. And King Kong Bundy, who had just recently left the WWF, and I've told this story before, so I'm going to give you the quick version of it. He was at a Central Hardware in Festus, Missouri, which was about 30 minutes from our house. My dad and I went. Again, it's a Sunday afternoon, and for whatever reason, I backed out and decided I did not want to wait in the line. We got there, and I don't know what, you know, possessed me. 14 years old or 15 years old at the time, who knows what was really going through my head. But I opted to not stay and do that. And I wish I had. I remember they were taking Polaroids, and that would have been a cool memory. But yeah, my memory of that is just kind of backing out and leaving. Fast forward about 9 years, and I had my first wrestling meet and greet, if you will. And that was with the Honky Tonk Man. And I've told that story here before as well. And that was more than just your typical meet and greet. Meet and greets are cool. I enjoy them, but they are very quick. They're not so much, you know, you're not able to talk and have a lengthy conversation usually, because there are hundreds of people there and you want to be considerate of everyone's time and make sure that everyone gets a chance to see the superstar that they've waited for. But with Honky Tonk Man, I was, you know, it was part of the gig. I was at the TV station I was working at the time, previewing Bad Blood, the In Your House that was coming to St. Louis. Honky Tonk was the Goodwill ambassador at the time for the WWF. And we did an arm wrestling contest. He was arm wrestling people. And then if they beat him, they got a free ticket to the show. And we did it. I did it. And the reporter that I was out with took some pictures of me. It was cool. I thought that was really a fun first wrestler meeting experience because, again, it wasn't in your typical meet and greet setting. And it was something that, 27 years later, almost 27 years later, I still am pretty excited about and think about it quite often. When I got into the TV business, I was able to meet some wrestlers because either they were coming to town and doing a show and the TV station, whether it was in Alabama, in Indiana, I don't think we ever had any wrestlers on, but in Alabama and then here in Southern Illinois, I had a fair amount of wrestlers that I was able to meet. I remember meeting Brickhouse Brown at a show in Florence, Alabama. And I remember him being worried that I was going to be exposing the business. And I told him that was not going to be the case. I was a fan and that I was there to do a story and report on the show. Met Ricky Morton that night and got to interview him very briefly, very quickly. And then like a couple weeks later, WCW Thunder was in Huntsville, and I've gone into great detail on this one as well. Brian Barnett, my photographer for that show, we did a podcast on all of this. But, Bobby the Brain Heenan, Goldberg, Ray Traylor, who we knew as the Big Boss Man, and then Buff Bagwell. And that was super cool. That was probably the most fun because it was, again, they were very brief, quick encounters, but very memorable. And that was back in 1998. And so those were, your non-traditional, I wasn't meeting them. Obviously, I was a fan, but I hadn't paid and wasn't doing a meet and greet as a fan. Those came later when Chad and I started going to WrestleManias. And the first one we went to, the first couple that we went to, we went ahead and splurged into the package where you got to go to some meet and greets. This was before Access. And, that first year, I believe it was Jimmy Hart and Kane and Eugene and a handful of others. But they were, again, those were very quick. They were all sitting at tables. You walk by, you had your souvenir program. They autographed it. Quick pose, someone behind you in line for a, Chad and I would take turns, take a quick picture, and then you moved on. And so, we did that in 2006 and in 2008. And in 2007, and this is probably not counting the Access lines because those are long lines that you go to typically, but probably the most memorable for a couple of reasons was in 2007. It was February. It was right before Chad left to move to Los Angeles, but the SmackDown brand was doing a house show at Carbondale at the SIU Arena, now the Banterra Center. But they were coming in, and they had CM Punk was at Buffalo Wild Wings. And I didn't know a lot about CM Punk at that time, but they were also going to have Chris Benoit at one of the local car dealerships. And so Chad and I opted to go to, and I think our friend Randy went with us too. We opted to go to the Chris Benoit signing, signing and meet and greet. And for some reason he was delayed. There was a delay with, it was cold outside. There was snow on the ground. And I don't know if it was a weather delay or what it was, but we waited forever. But to his credit, to WWE's credit, he came and he met and took pictures with everyone there. And I mean, it was late. It was dark outside when we finally got in and got to do it. But I remember being cold and I was in a pair of shoes that were not comfortable. And I just remember standing in line for so long and then being cold. And it was not a pleasurable experience by any means. But, I thought it was cool to have that opportunity to meet Chris Benoit. Obviously, just a few months later, his life and the lives of his wife and son came to an end. So, it's not a moment that we hang our hat on, but it was definitely an opportunity and something that we were able to do, and then going to WrestleManias and sometimes being in cosplay, you know, we've told the story before about running into Chris Hero and Tyler Black, who we now know as Seth Rollins. And we got a picture with Chris Hero and didn't really interact much with Seth Rollins. And we really didn't interact much with Chris, to be honest. It was just kind of a quick thing. Going to the indie shows, though, you know, Chikara, some of those memories actually just popped up on my Facebook page or on my Time Hop app. You know, The Colony and Mr. Touchdown, Archibald Peck, you know, those are fun memories too. And at those indie shows, a lot of the times it's, you know, part of the whole deal. You get that experience and there's not long lines and you run into them in the bathroom or you run into them at the concession stand or, you know, you go to their merch table. And, you know, back in the day, you could do those meet and greets and get quick picks and whatnot. And they were always fun experiences and interactions. And usually you could talk for a minute or two or longer than you typically would at a WWE Access event. And just having that moment or two to share and talk. And again, being on TV afforded me the opportunity to do a lot more of these meetings. I talked to before about Billy Gunn and Axel Rotten. I'm sorry, Ian Rotten. You know, Chad and I got, you know, Chad really got the ball rolling on it to get IWA Mid-South to come to Southern Illinois to do a show in here, and they ended up doing three different shows. He had reached out to Ian, and Ian came to the area and with Mickey Knuckles, and I'll never forget eating riblets with those two at Applebee's in Marion, Illinois. But it's another one of those surreal experiences. And then when we got Billy Gunn booked to come on the show, the morning show the WSIL had at the time, and Chad was director, I was the anchor, and we had the one of the video games playing, and Chad had done the creator wrestler to be me wrestling Billy Gunn. That was a really cool experience. I've talked about that. Some of these I've already talked about, and I'm not going to go into all the great details, but you can always look, especially on the YouTube channel, and find those videos that are up. You know, I got to meet D'Lo Brown when TNA came to Southern Illinois. They were doing a show out at the ballpark, a baseball event. And I actually entered a contest and won the Be a Manager for the Night contest. But D'Lo had come in on the morning show because this was a Friday night event. So they had come to town early. D'Lo came in and was awesome. And he remembered me years later as well. But, you know, getting to meet D'Lo and talk to him there on set at WSIL, but then later that night at the show, because I had won this contest and I managed Velvet Sky for the night. That was a really cool, surreal experience as well. And this was really before, you know, All American Pro Wrestling was just starting. And so we hadn't really brought in these different talents yet. And so these were still opportunities to meet some of these wrestlers, these larger than life characters. And we did a meet and greet during that base brawl event too, where you got to go around. You know, of course, for this one, you paid extra for, but, you know, we met AJ Styles and Robbie E and Matt Morgan and trying to think of who else was there that night. But Kurt Angle, we got to go in the ring with him at the end of the show. And again, those were very quick, brief, you know, shake at their hand, say a quick thing and then smile for a picture. That was the first time I met Jeff Jarrett too. And I say the first time because he came back to Southern Illinois a couple years later with Global Force Wrestling. And we met over at the ballpark because they were coming to do another base brawl event. And we met ahead of time and did an interview. And again, it was a meet and greet, but, you know, got a selfie with him. And so that was really cool as well, because, you know, I've been very fortunate. I've never had an experience with a wrestler that was a jerk. And I'm trying to remember, and Chad will correct me if I'm wrong, at any of the Access meet and greets or anything like that. I don't think there ever was. You know, we talked about on the show a while back when we were in New Orleans and meeting Drew McIntyre and Mojo Rawley and a couple of other NXT guys. You know, they were cool that night. We're running around on Bourbon Street and went into a bar with those guys. So that was cool. You know, I mentioned of course, the Jeff Jarrett situation, not situation, but the Jeff Jarrett meeting. And then we met, at All American Pro Wrestling main event. That's the first time I got to meet Pac, or Pac. I've heard his name said so many different ways, but he and El Generico and Matt Cross and Colt Cabana. Colt was great. I've met him a couple of times, and you know, seeing them on social media and then meeting them in person, some of them remember, some of them don't. I've told the story ad nauseum about Pac and seeing him as Neville a couple of times, and so I won't bore y'all with those details. Mickey James, you know, thanks to Burke Prentice, the late Burke Prentice, I was able to meet Mickey James at an event. She was in for an indie show. This was after she had left WWE, and she had come in and was wrestling and doing a fundraiser for flood victims. I got to interview her for the podcast. Lex Luger and Nikita Koloff, I got to interview them for the podcast. And these are all, again, in the archives. And so those, again, weren't situations where you're standing in line waiting to meet and shake hands with them. We did that at Access, you know, a handful of times. We didn't do it a lot at Access, but we did do WrestleCon a few times. WrestleCon, that first year we did it in 2012, it was in Miami. And I liked the setup because you went, you know, around the room and kind of did your picture and you know, could chat for a moment with whomever you were meeting. But those were pretty quick as well. But guys like Vader and Tito Santana, Road Warrior Animal, Mr. Wonderful Paul Orndorff, Leaping Lanny Poffo, or the genius Honky Tonk Man was there. Jake the Snake was there. We had met Jake at a couple years later, too, in New Orleans. But, you know, kind of going through those and doing those, the lines weren't terribly long. And so those weren't bad situations at all. And I'm trying to really rack my brain and remember if we stood in line. The longest line I remember standing in at Access was when we met Neville and Sami Zayn. I'm sorry, Neville, Rusev, Lana, and Bailey. We stood in line and waited for them and got their autographs and a picture made with them. So that was pretty cool and fun, memorable moments as well. Like I said, years later, I ran into D'Lo Brown at the when I did the audition for Impact Wrestling in 2018. And he remembered me from, 7 years earlier when I met him at the event, at the baseball event. We started following each other on Twitter, and, you know, we would communicate occasionally. So, those are always cool, fun times. And again, there's that list out there, that unwritten list, or I guess I have written down a few names, but a handful of wrestlers, of legends that I would love to meet. You know, current active wrestlers I would like to meet one day. Daniel Bryan is one of my favorites, or Bryan Danielson. I really, really enjoy what he does and what he brings to the table. And I think, of everyone on my list, I'd say he's probably the most likely that I'll eventually get a chance to meet. Some of the others are pretty high up there, and it would cost mucho dinero to make it happen. The Nature Boy, Ric Flair, and Stone Cold Steve Austin, my two favorites of all time. And I would love, you know, if you could set the perfect scenario, the perfect, you know, situation, it would be, you know, not where you're necessarily standing in line waiting at a paid event, but just one of those organic, natural meetings. And I know that's not likely to happen, where you run into them at a bar or a restaurant and they invite you to sit down and have a beer and you can chat with them. That would be amazing. You know, Ric Flair, Stone Cold Steve Austin, and The Rock are my three kind of, not a Mount Rushmore, and they're not a Sixth Sense, but three guys that immediately come to mind of when they say, who would you like to meet? And you know, the meet and greet setting would be great, a quick picture. But, you know, I would love to sit down with and talk with these guys, whether it's for the podcast or just talking to them. You know, with Stride Pro Wrestling, we were able to have some shows and have some guests where, you know, Cowboy Bob Orton and James Storm, he was a guest on the podcast when he was here visiting. Cowboy Bob was a guest prior to his appearance in Stride, as well as Bushwhacker Luke was able to interview him on TV and on the podcast. Cowboy Bob was a podcast guest. So getting those opportunities, Abyss, meeting him in person, Adam Pearce back in the All-American Pro Wrestling days. This is when he was the NWA champion and wrestled Heath Hatton. I always value and treasure those memories of the men and the women that we met or that I've met prior to podcast or you know, even during the stretch of the podcast. And having the chance to interview some over the phone and meet over the phone, Rob Van Dam, you know, meeting him kind of through Zoom, that was, I'm probably the most proud of that moment and of that time period, because I had really put a lot of effort into getting Rob Van Dam specifically for the podcast and having him as a guest on the podcast. And it finally came to fruition. And not only was I able to have him on the podcast, because up until then, I had always just interviewed wrestlers over the phone, and Rob was willing to do it on Zoom. And I can't, again, thank him enough for that opportunity to be able to have done something like that. So there have been, and I'm not listed or named every single wrestler that I've met and had a chance to talk to, but we'd be here for a much longer period of time had I gone that route with this. I just wanted to go through a few of them and have some quick fun memories and share those. And again, ask the question, who is the longest you've waited in line for, or who is somebody that you are willing to wait in a long line for? Again, Ric Flair, Stone Cold, The Rock are mine, topping my list, at least at this very moment. So I'm curious to hear who you would love to wait in line and see for a meet and greet, or, you know, even better, have dinner with, have lunch with, have a beer with, have a cup of coffee with, whatever the case may be. I'm going to wrap things up for this week's episode. I appreciate y'all taking the time to listen. Be sure to leave a review and let your friends know about My 1-2-3 Cents. Have a great week, and we will talk again soon.
This is a production of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. For more jittery shenanigans, go to jitterymonkey.com.